all kinds of, had a yellow light. Now it's green. Can you hear me? What is joy? Turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to talk about what joy actually is. Our scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 21. I'd like to read that for you, and then we're going to explore this whole idea of what joy really is and what it's all about. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father, this is your word, and I just ask you to use it for your glory. Show us what you have for us today. Teach us the lessons that you would have for us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the meaning of joy? We hear that word used a lot. It's a very small word with a lot of stuff packed in it. What is it? It's one of those words that's just a little bit more difficult to pin down. We've talked about peace. We've talked about hope. But joy is one of those words that is just a little bit harder to grasp because there are so many different meanings and definitions, and it's used in so many different ways. Well, I've referred to a few definitions from various pastors and Christian authors that I would like to share with you. And between all of these, I think we can get one good idea of what Christian joy really is. Many of you have heard of a man named Pastor John Piper. John Piper defines joy this way. He said, "Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. A good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world." Reverend Jack Wellman, I was reading, And he describes it this way: joy is an emotion that is acquired by the anticipation, acquisition, or even the expectation of something great or wonderful. So he says it's an emotion, which it is, partly. Pastor Rick Warren, many of you have heard of him. He's written a lot of books, not related that I know of. If he is related to me, he has not shared any of his massive fortune with me. But here's how he defines joy. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. The settled assurance. Think about that. The settled assurance. You can have settled assurance. You can know. We have a song in our hymnal called Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. We can have that assurance and we can know it without a doubt. The settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, and the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. There are aspects of all three of those definitions that I like. I like the fact that joy is a good feeling in the soul that's produced by the Holy Spirit. I think that's an incredible key. You see, we look for joy in so many things around us. We look for joy in all kinds of in all kinds of different situations and circumstances. Maybe we think we can find joy in more money or more things or a bigger house or a nicer car or any of these other kinds of things. And none of those things are wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of those things as long as we approach them with the right attitude. But Christian joy is that feeling or experience in the soul that's produced by the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is first of all love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy is number two in that list, the fruit of the Spirit, so we can have true spiritual joy in our hearts and our lives. It's an emotion that's acquired by the anticipation or expectation of something, a determined choice to praise God in every situation. Why? Because of the assurance that I have in God. What does Paul tell us? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That does not mean, I get so tired of that verse being so misinterpreted. That does not mean that everything that happens in your life is going to be good. But what it means is that no matter what happens in my life, God can take it and make it into something good according to His own purpose. And we can have joy in the midst of all those things, no matter what's going on around us. Let's look at what joy isn't. We can think about what it is. Sometimes the best way to define something or understand something is to think about what it's not. Joy is not simply an idea, persuasion, decision, or conviction. It's not something I turn and turn off like a light switch. I can't just wake up in the morning and no matter what's going on around me, I flip a switch and all of a sudden joy is just like everywhere. And turn it off. Turn it on and off. It's not just simply an idea or a conviction that I can turn on and off at any time I want. Joy is not a physical experience or a reaction. It is a spiritual state of mind and being. Once again, a good feeling in the soul. Joy can and will at times cause us to react in certain ways. I may laugh. I might cry. I might sing. I might shout. These are all outward displays of joy that we have inside of us that are expressed in different ways at different times based on certain situations. But that's not what joy really is. Joy is not something that can be manufactured. It's not something we can just make up and choose and just make it appear. Because it's not a physical experience or reaction, we can't find joy through just simple physical gratification. True joy is not found at the bottom of the next beer can, shot glass, or bottle. It's not found in the next sexual encounter with the next partner. Joy is not found in the next encounter of getting high or whatever it might be. All of these things are ways of trying to compensate for the joy that is truly absent in our lives. Let me just tell you something this morning. And I'm not addiction. Addiction is a serious and a real problem. I understand that. I'm not making light of that. But the way we become addicted is because we turn to other things to try to fill the emptiness that is in our life that only Christ can satisfy. We get involved in all these other things because we're looking for something. We're trying to find happiness. We're trying to find fulfillment. We're trying to find what we think is joy when it's really not. Because no matter how much satisfaction we may think we find at that point in time, it's going to lead to us wanting and needing more. Joy is found only in Christ. Joy is not the absence of pain or suffering or doubt or discouragement or depression. As a matter of fact, true joy remains even in the midst of all those feelings and experiences. And we find this truth in James chapter 1 when he tells us to consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance. As that perseverance and endurance grows, we become mature in our faith and we'll be able to overcome the very trials that we face. Don't you wish the Bible was always easy? When you look at a verse like that, I don't know what you might be going through, but when you look at a verse like that, and I don't know if you're like me, but usually these verses come up when I most need them, which means they come up at a time when I'm not really thinking about joy, right? Consider it pure joy when you face various trials of many kinds. That's not when you're thinking about joy. But that's when we need to fully and completely understand what it really is. And finally, joy is not simply happiness. Happiness is based on the current circumstances and situations that we face around us. True joy is based on a relationship with Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ can we experience the true joy that lives in us through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's the meaning of joy, what it is, what it isn't. What do we think of when we think of the message? What's the message of joy for us today? Well, I want us to think about this. Joy is God's gift to us. We're at that time of season. We're at that season of the year, once again, where we think about all the gifts. The Christmas list keeps changing. The wish list keeps changing. The gift ideas just become different every time we walk through the store and see something. Oh, that looks cool. Maybe I'd like to have that. They're here now. I can pick on them. I pick on them sometimes when they're not here. The gift ideas just keep changing. But what's the true gift? What is the real gift that we all need to experience and that we all need to possess? No matter what is going on, true joy. It's based on that personal relationship with Christ. Once again, Jesus was and is our gift from God. Look what the angel said to the shepherds. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now for us, we might not understand the true depth of what that joy would have been. You've got to understand, Israel has been waiting, looking for and anticipating this promise of the Savior, this promise of the Messiah. And the angels appear to these poor shepherds while they're out in the field in the middle of the night, and they say, look, what you've been waiting for, what Israel has been waiting for all of these years, he's here. He's arrived. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. That had to be the greatest news that they could ever imagine. There's another part of this message that we have to catch. Joy is God's gift to us, and it's a gift that is meant for all the people. Look who the angel is talking to. Shepherds. Shepherds are about as common as you can get. I mean, if some dignitary, if some important person in town, if some important politician was thinking about having a party and throwing a big event and trying to figure out who he wanted to invite and be on the top of his invitation list, can you see it? Right at the very top, most important priority number one, the shepherds. That wasn't it. Shepherds weren't invited to a lot of parties. They weren't. People didn't pay a whole lot of attention to them. They were not the top of the priority list. They were looked down on by other people. They were dirty. Sometimes they didn't smell good. They were unable to keep all the laws regarding ceremonial cleanliness. Let's just say they weren't the type of people that you would find being invited to those very important events. But this night, the most important event that's happened in the entire history of the world, the shepherds were the first to hear. The angels came to them. True joy is meant for and available to everyone. Jesus came so that whoever would believe in him could have eternal life. How many times do we see that person that when we see them, we rush to some kind of a judgment or determination that probably not a very good candidate for me to invite to church. Probably not a very good candidate for me to become friends with. Probably not a very good candidate for me to spend my time with. I don't see a whole lot of potential there. Those are the very people that Jesus came for. The very ones that we should be reaching out to, not neglecting. Once again, I don't know if it's still even in our hymnal. It used to be a song that said, "Whosoever will may come." Whosoever. It didn't matter. And that's one of the great messages. That's one of the great lessons of the Christian story. That the message of joy is for all people. No matter who they are, no matter where they live, no matter what their background, the message of joy is for them. So joy is God's gift to us, but I also want you to understand that joy is God's desire for us. You know that God wants you to experience joy? God wants you to have joy in your life? Do you think for a moment that God's desire for us is for us to just go through life being miserable? No. I've come that they might have joy, that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, "I want my joy to be complete and for my joy to be in you." That's what he told his disciples. It's God's desire for us. Jesus is talking with his disciples and he gives them these instructions in John chapter 15. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." What's that word "complete" mean? It means perfect. It means not lacking anything. "I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be perfectly and completely fulfilled in your life." In John chapter 16, Jesus is explaining to his disciples what will happen when he goes away. He says, "For a while you're going to experience grief, but when he returns and they see him again, they will rejoice and no one will be able to take away their joy. He goes on to tell them that if they ask anything in His name and according to His nature, they will receive, and their joy, once again, will be complete. God wants us to have and experience joy in this life. Joy comes from God's presence within us. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for His disciples. I'm coming to you now, He says to the Father, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of My joy within them. Joy is found. We've said it time and time again. I'm going to say it again. Joy is found in relationship with Jesus. If I am a Christian today, it means that Jesus lives in me through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if His presence lives in me, it means that even now I am believing in Him for my salvation. I have not just been saved, I am currently being saved. Why? Because His Spirit lives in me and it never stops working. It means even now I am receiving through Him my salvation, and it produces in me, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, a joy that is unspeakable, inexpressible, and full of glory. Does that sound like our life today? Is that what we experience? Is that who we are? It can be. It's what God wants. It's what God wants for us. A joy that is unspeakable, inexpressible, and full of glory. We know it comes from God's presence within us because, once again, it is described and defined as one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we can't experience the fruit of the Spirit if the Spirit doesn't live in us. The message of joy. Well, we've talked about what it means. We've talked about the message and what's included in it. But it doesn't really matter if someone doesn't tell us about it. We might not ever experience it if someone doesn't share it with us. So I want us to think about the messenger, the messengers of joy. Who shared this message? The angels, first of all. The angels shared this message of joy with Mary. We've talked about that in the last couple of weeks. This young lady, engaged to be married to a carpenter named Joseph. And one day the angel Gabriel comes and tells her all these different things that are going to happen in her life, how it's all going to unfold, what it's all going to mean. And in the midst of all of that, he says, Mary, don't be afraid. He brings her the news of great joy. Joseph. The shepherds. The angels came and brought the message of joy to all these people. So then I want you to watch how this unfolds. The angels come and tell Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And then look what happens. Once the shepherds heard this message, first of all, in verse 15 of our text, it says, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They were so excited about it, they had to go see for themselves. And then, once they had seen, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They shared the message that they had heard about Jesus with everyone who would listen. And Scripture tells us that everyone who heard the shepherds talk about Jesus were amazed at the story. How many people have I shared the message of Jesus with? That's the question we all need to be asking ourselves right now, because you see, the next group of messengers I have here is you and me. You and me. Who have we shared the message about Jesus with? We are called to be messengers of this joy that He's given us. We are called to share this joy with the world. We are called to share the message of Christmas with everyone who will listen. Everyone's not going to listen. Everyone's not going to want to hear about Jesus, even though they need to. So yeah, you're probably going to be rejected. There will probably be people along the way who say, I'm not interested in all that stuff. But there will also be those along the way who will say, I'm interested in hearing more about this Jesus person you're talking about. Can you tell me more about Him? And that's all we have to do. Tell them about Jesus. Not telling someone else's story, but telling my story. What has Jesus done for me? What has Jesus done for you? How has knowing Jesus changed your life? That's really all we have to do, is share that little testimony, we call it, with someone else who needs to know that they can experience joy in this life, even in the midst of everything that's going on around us. So during this Advent and Christmas season, let's not settle for something less than what God has to offer us. Let's not settle for something less than true joy. Let's not try to substitute other things for the joy of knowing Jesus. And let's not miss an opportunity to share this message of joy with someone else. Joy to the world. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." I want to ask Blenda and the group to come back and join me again, and I want to ask you to stand. We're going to close this service this morning by singing that song, number 173. Number 173 in your hymnal, "Joy to the World." And let's sing and worship Him this morning as we close this service.
Let every heart cursed is found, far as the cursed is found, far as the cursed is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. You're dismissed. Go share the joy of Jesus with those around you this week. God bless you.